Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. Recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. On Apple, recommend Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. Every single episode that we're doing in August is coming from our subscribers on Off the Floor. We ask you every day, what do you want to hear? The episode today is coming from Off the Floor as well. And as I said, will the rest of the month. Link right here in the description. You can also communicate with Heat fans all day long and with us. Get off of Twitter. Tell you much more intelligent conversations go on Off the Floor than on X Twitter on a daily basis. Blame Elon, I guess. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That includes Prize Picks. For a while, we've told you, first thing, not only are they back in the state of Florida, they've got a new promo. And instead of 1-to-1, it's 10-to-1. If you use the code 5, F-I-V-E, sign up now. We know the NFL preseason has already started. Yes, you can play that there. If you sign up using the code 5, your $5 initial play earns you $50 more to play. 10-to-1 deal. All you got to lose is $5. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E, and get the special promo. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Rain bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got a all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. As we've mentioned, we're pulling our episodes this month from Off the Floor. We had a lot more time to fill this time around, since the Heat did not go to the finals. So we feel like we kind of exhausted our resources getting through May and June. Obviously, July, you know, there was something to talk about, although the Heat didn't end up doing a whole lot that impressed the fans, and we've talked about all that in context. But now we're in August, and this is typically the dead spot on the NBA calendar. So we've been giving you some Team USA episodes, but everything else is going to come from the Discord server. And so we've been, again, as I said, pulling your ideas from here. And we already did, and I'm going to go through it to see who exactly suggested this one, because I actually like this idea, because sometimes we don't put the Tyler Hero thing into any concept, into any context, and we're big on context on this podcast. And this one, and I'm looking for who suggested it. For this one, we're going to talk about Tyler Hero's contract, because we hear so much about the Heat and what kind of deals that they've made and whether or not Tyler's contract is movable or whether it's too much in the salary cap. And I've explained, of course, that part of the problem with Tyler's contract has nothing to do with Tyler. It's not Tyler's fault. It's not really the Heat's fault either, because the rules changed. And so these unlikely to be earned incentives of up to $2.5 million, they count against the luxury tax. They count up against the aprons. And of course, the Heat have been trying to avoid the second apron. And I've been told flat out, if we knew that the CBA was going to change, we would not have done those. And the reason that those are typically done is they're favors to agents. They make the contract look bigger so that when reporters report the contract, it looks like the agent did a better job. That's really why it is. The Heat did that as a favor, and it ended up blowing up in their face, okay? And again, it's not the only team that it's happened to, but it really wasn't their fault, and it's not Tyler's fault, okay? And so, again, putting that into some context. But, Alex, I'm going to say this flat out before we start going through the list of names. If I was to tell you Let me ask you this. Where do you think Tyler's Hero's contract, base contract of $29 million ranks in the NBA this year?
Well, the thing is, I already know the answer, so it's not going to serve for great radio.
What would you have guessed if you didn't know the answer?
Honestly, probably around the answer. I can't even front, just because it seems very reasonable. Like, I think, you know, let's just say it here, right? He ranks 58th in the league, I think that's about.
You have him at 58. I have him at 53rd. Are you looking at? Okay, there's a couple different listings here. Yeah, but now I'm looking at SpoTrack too. But they have it listed a couple of different ways. So here, let me.
Oh yeah.
Let me call this up. They have cap hit, and then they have total cash. So they have base. Which way do we want to do this? Because they're all pretty close. Like
looking at it was basically just the entire contract, right? So like, for example, Tatum is number one at 313.
Oh, no, million. No. Let's get to that later. Let's just look at next year. Just flat out next year. Okay. 24-25 season. And then we kind of need to determine. We'll go to full contract after the break. But let's look at this. Cap hit, total cash, or base salary. You want to look at cap hit, I guess? I mean, he's in the same area in all three. Because just to give you some context here, mm-hmm. Steph Curry is first in all three, $55.8 million. Okay. Cap hit, Jokic is second, tied with Embiid at $51.4 million. Followed by Durant and, oh my God, Bradley Beal. Heat wanted that deal. Not the Heat didn't want that deal. Heat fans wanted that deal. The Heat were smart not to take that deal. Total cash, it's just a slightly different order. It's Curry, Embiid. Actually, it's not even a – they just ordered them differently. So they're all the same. It's Curry, Embiid, Jokic, Beal, Durant. Okay, two of them on the same team. That's basically – but let's do it for cap hit, okay? That's the one I think that Heat fans would be most concerned about. All right, so we're going to look at this for cap hit. Tyler Hero in cap hit. Let me see if it's exactly the same as what he looked like in total cash. It is going to be, it's just about the same. 54th at $29 million. Is that fair? Is that about right?
Yeah. Yeah. So not too far off from where I was at, but I like the way you're measuring it better, because I think once you get into overall, you know, contract, mm-hmm. it's a little tougher because there's so many, you know, variable years, and it's harder to measure. So I'm with you there. And yeah, I think still that's what I would have guessed, you know.
If Tyler Hero was ranked in the ESPN top 100 this year, where do you think he stands?
Oh, where do I think they're going to rank him? Probably around like 70, maybe. I don't remember where they had him last time, so I'm just guessing. But I feel like just kind of based on his reputation, maybe like 50, 60, but even 50, I doubt it.
Let me see where he was last year. We thought that he was unfairly ranked last year, actually.
We did a whole thing about how Maxey was way too far ahead, and it turns out they were right on that.
That turned out right. but let's see. We got to the bump. It's funny.
But last year, it was a problem.
He was rated too high early in his career and too low later in his career. There is this misconception that he's gone backwards when he hasn't. Have we played a role in that? I feel like we've tried to tell people that he's made incremental improvements each year, right? It's just that the expectation level got out of control?
I don't think we brought up people's expectations. I feel like we've been fair on Tyler. I mean, people could tell me otherwise if that's how they feel, but I feel like we've been. I know some people think we're like super positive on Tyler because, like comparatively, it's people who just want him out of here and think he's complete trash. So like, mm-hmm. we seem like sunshine bumpers compared to that.
Right. And I know there are people close to him that think we're unfair to him and we've been too negative. And I don't. And again, I feel like we're always trying to find the nuance in these situations, but you're right. There is no in between here. It's a little bit like the Tua debate that I deal with on the Dolphin side, but okay. Let me go through some of these names at the top. Just so again, people get an idea of how much star level players are making. And then we'll get to some of the players that are ahead of Tyler that maybe shouldn't be, and others who are behind him that maybe should be ahead. And then I think we're going to find that this contract is fairly valued, at least in terms of the player that he is. The fit for the Heat is a different conversation that we've had many times. But in terms of whether or not this is a bad contract, I kind of know which conclusion I'm going to come to, but let's work through it, okay? top 10 in the league. And again, this is cap hit. Curry, 55 million. Embiid, Jokic, Durant, Beal, all over 50 million. Booker, 49 million. Jaylen Brown, 49 million. Cat, 49 million. Kawhi Leonard, 49 million for the 12 games he plays. Paul George, now in Philadelphia, 49 million, making the same as Kawhi, by the way. Jimmy, 48.8. He's 11th in the league. Dame, who you all wanted, 48.8, tied with Jimmy. Giannis, 48.8, tied with Jimmy. LeBron, 48.8, tied with Jimmy. So they're all right there. Okay, you got those guys. Again, Jimmy, Paul, essentially, Kat, Jalen, Devin, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Dame Lillard, Giannis, LeBron, all make within $500,000 of each other this year. I mean, is there anybody on that list that doesn't belong? Why? Maybe because he doesn't play enough?
Sorry about that. No, I don't think so. I think everybody there kind of belongs. Like, I mean, I'm not as high on like a Karl Anthony Towns as maybe some others, but he's still a really good player, you know, an all-star, considered a centerpiece for that franchise. So, no, I think everybody there more or less belongs.
Right. I mean, there's nobody that jumps out and you're like, wait, how did he get that deal? Honestly, the one guy in that top, and now we're all the way down to 14 when you get through the last of the guys who's at 48.8, which is LeBron, Giannis, Dame, Jimmy, whichever one you want to choose. The one guy whose production didn't match, doesn't match, Beal. And it's not simply injury related, which is Kawhi, is Beal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also got to do with, you know, him being a third option now as opposed to being a first option when he got that contract, right? And he was putting up big numbers a couple of seasons ago. I think he was a leading scorer in the league a couple of seasons ago, just off points per game. So, I mean, you know, but that was another thing. I feel like we all knew he kind of just, you know, over leveraged Washington in that moment, even before.
Right. They didn't win anything. All right. So let's go beyond. So now you got a $5 million gap. Okay. Let me give you the next list of names. Mm-hmm. And there's a name in here that Heat fans talk about all the time, and I just don't think he belongs with this group. Rudy Gobert, 43.8. Anthony Davis, 43.2. Luka, 43. Trey, 43. Zach LaVine, 43. Zach LaVine makes the same amount of money as Luka and Trey and is $200,000 behind Anthony Davis.
For now.
For now. Right, for now. Then you've got this contract is just Fred Van Vliet, 42.8, 20th in the league. Before you get to three guys at 42.2, Anthony Edwards, Pascal Siakam, and Tyrese Halliburton. LaVine and Van Vliet are the two that don't belong, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they're still good players. It just feels like, you know, kind of similar to the Beal stuff where it's like they just. Kind of finesse it would have finessed some money out of these organizations. Like these are good players, but probably a little bit overpaid, right? Like, I mean, look, LaVine was a really good player a couple of seasons ago and you know, barely played last season. And you know, it just doesn't look great now. Van Vliet, again, another good player, but yeah, both of those guys, it does seem a little bit, you know.
Well, Houston had to spend that was the thing. Houston had to get past the floor, so that was part of the reason this happened.
And they wanted to be competitive, and it worked out. I was skeptical of that. I didn't think they were going to be competitive, and now it seems like they're on their way.
It does. The contract's still ridiculous, but okay. Yeah. Is Zach LaVine $14 million better than Tyler Hero?
Maybe at his peak, you can make that case. Okay. I would say probably not in the current state just because, well, look, the thing is they're both having availability issues. And even with as many games as Tyler last season, still played more than LaVine, if I remember correctly. But funny enough, like you think of LaVine as somebody with, you know, like an injury history. And before last season, like his availability was actually pretty decent the seasons before that. So I think when you take that into account, when you take it into account the way that he can get to the rim, which just something like if Tyler could get to the rim at the rate that LaVine did, people would absolutely be ecstatic, especially the free throw line. Just somebody who could be that athletic and kind of get to the paint whenever they wanted and finish, right? Like that aspect is something that we have been wanting to see out of Tyler, and you just don't know if you're going to be able to. So I think that you can make the case separates them by that much. But again, that's if he's at his peak, right? If he's just going to continue like last season where you don't know how much he's going to play and ends up being like less than half the season, then no.
Another thing about Zach LaVine is he should be a much better defender than Tyler Herro, and he's not, because he's never really put the effort into it. Is Fred VanVleet $14 million better than Tyler Herro?
Probably not. Probably not.
Okay. I'm throwing this out there. $14 million in the modern NBA. This is before the explosion of the cap tax level, you know, aprons level that we're going to get because of this new TV deal. You know, $14 million is a low end NBA starter and a high end rotation player. So we're basically saying, are these players that better than Tyler? Okay, here's the others on the list. Anthony Edwards obviously is worth whatever the hell Minnesota wants to pay him. Siakam and Haliburton, by the way, they match their contracts in Indiana. 42 points. It's so funny to me because, again, it's a lot of this is the way the contracts are set up by the CBA or have been. But Siakam and Haliburton, the two stars of Indiana, make the exact same, $42.2 million. Kyrie, $41 million. Now we get to 25th. Sabonis, $40.5 million. Here's where it starts to get a little interesting. All right, Ben Simmons at $40 million for how many games? Obviously, ain't great value, right?
He doesn't play at the level he used to like several years ago at this point.
Right. Okay. Darius Garland at 36.7. Is he $7 million better than Tyler?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you could, I think if you wanted, in my opinion, if you switched Garland and Van Vliet here, like, I think that would be more accurate. Like, if you wanted to put Garland like $14 million more than Tyler and Van Vliet, I think that would be a more accurate representation of where they're at. Like, I think Garland is, but even then, like, it is a decent difference. But yeah, I would feel confident about that. I just think Garland is so much better of like way better passer. And I'm not saying Tyler can't pass. I'm not calling Tyler a ball hog. I just think Garland is really good at it, whereas Tyler is okay at it. And I think Garland can legitimately run an offense. And despite how small he is, and obviously that factors in, like, I do think he is still good at getting into the paint. And even though some of that has kind of, you know, he's been a little bit of a weird playoff performer at times because of the size being against him, I do think he's still, you know, a tier above Tyler in those things offensively.
There's a fit issue with him too, though. I mean, there's enough of a fit issue in Cleveland that there were a lot of rumors about Clutch trying to get him out of there because he doesn't fit with Mitchell. So I'm just, some of the things we talk about with Tyler, you can talk about with Garland. I'll make the case that Garland should be higher than Herro on the list. Of course, they were drafted in the same class. $7 million. I don't know. I mean, when Tyler's playing at a high level, Garland has disappeared at times. Like you mentioned, the playoff thing's been an issue with him too. He played great in that one play-in game against Atlanta. Otherwise, he's not played great in the playoffs. All right, after the break, we'll get to more of them, but I do want to mention two others in that space before we get to the 30th on the list. And again, we're going down to Tyler here. John Morant, 36.7, is worth it if he's playing. Zion, 36.7. For top two picks, by the way, they signed those extensions. Top two picks of their respective draft, of the Tyler draft, I believe, yes. $36.7 million. Just say this yes or no before we go to the break here. Morant and Zion, both worth where they're at relative to the others, provided they're healthy, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's pretty clear. I mean, Morant's a top 10 player when he's healthy and not suspended.
And Zion is top 20-ish, top 30-ish.
Yeah. I think what we saw in that play-in game was he can be top 10-ish if he wants to be. And, of course, what happened, he got hurt before the end of the game. All right, we'll get to the rest of this because, again, we're going to try to put this into some context. So we're going to look at the contracts after Tyler. If I don't find who suggested this topic to us, we'll certainly mention it on social media and I'll get to it in the next episode. I do want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. She is a subscriber to Off the Floor. Anytime she suggests a topic, we're going to get to it. Insurancebylinette.com, 954-581-8800. Life insurance, car insurance, homeowners insurance, everything, renter's insurance. She can handle it for you. A aggressive insurance agency. Again, it's insurancebylinette.com. Two N's, two T's. Based in Lauderhill, services the entire Tri-County area. Just reach out to her again at insurancebylinette.com. Make sure you mention Five Reasons.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FiveFloor, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right, so we are now through the 30th player, which is Ananobi, $36.6 million. We're going to see a lot of Knicks pop up here pretty quickly. I'll just go through this list quickly. You just flag anybody who does not belong, okay? Ananobi, 36.6. Ingram, 36. By the way, he wants an extension much higher than that, and they've balked at it. Jamal Murray, who's looked awful in the Olympics, but typically is worth this, especially in the playoffs, $36 million. Michael Porter Jr., another nugget, 35.8. Or 35.9. He makes the same as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 35.9. Shai probably is worth more. Donovan Mitchell, 35.4. Again, just signing that extension going forward. LaMelo Ball, 35.1. Maxey, 35.1. Any names there that don't belong, that should be much lower in your view? We know some of them should be higher.
Michael Porter Jr. Probably, he's a great shooter, fantastic shooter. You know, again, somebody who's knocked down at that size, at that volume, is very valuable. But yeah, I just think he's somebody who has kind of faltered in the playoffs before. Like, I barely remember him playing in that finals versus the Heat, because it feels like every time he would just start off the game shooting poorly, and then he would get benched for Bruce Brown. And and Bruce Brown was like amazing against the Heat. So that kind of colors my opinion on it. I mean, I thought he was better in this playoff run. Again, still a valuable player, but if you're just comparing him to the other names in that category, I think he probably doesn't belong. I do think like the contract isn't terrible for him. I just think it's a slight overpay. Yeah.
Slight overpay, but an important fit there, and they lost KCP, so he'll take on even more of a burden this year. All right, so now we go to the next group. These three guys all make the same amount of money. You're familiar with one of them. Bam, De'Aaron Fox, Jason Tatum. you can't make an argument that any of them should be lower. And of course, this is prior to Bam's extension, which is going to hike his number. A lot of this is prior to extensions, but this is all $34.8 million. All
same for Fox and Tatum, right?
Yes, exactly. So this is all pre-extension for them. And again, they're all in the top 40 in the league. All three players are top 25 players. And so they all belong there. All right. Now here's where it starts to get more interesting. Again, this is just for next season. Desmond Bain and DeAndre Ayton, who, by the way, there are reports that the Blazers are not going to keep him. I guess Joe Cronin shouldn't have settled. $34 million for each of them. James Harden, this upcoming season, signed that short-term deal, 33.6. CJ McCollum, 33.3. Emmanuel Quickley, 32.5. Now Toronto's starting point guard. Chris Middleton, 31.7. Isaiah Hartenstein, new contract with OKC, coming out of the Knicks, $30 million. Drew Holiday, playing in the Olympics as well, and another world champion. I'm going to call him a world champion. I apologize to Mr. Lyles, who I have great respect for what he did yesterday, but the NBA champion is the world champion. Drew Holiday, $30 million. Jeremy Grant, also on Joe Cronin's payroll, 29.8. Jordan Poole, 29.7. DeJounte Murray, 29.5. Devin Vassell, 29.3. Kristaps Porzingis, 29.2. Tyler Hero, an even 29. Is anything out of place in front of Tyler?
The only one that I could like really think of, other than Aiden, because I think Aiden is just too obvious. Like he is, that's a big overpay. You know, I would have him much lower than that as far as like what I would expect him to get if he was in the market this summer, right? I think it would be a lot less than what he got a couple of years ago or whenever he signed that contract. Other than that, the only one I could think of in front of him that kind of stands out a little bit is Hardenstein, but he's a high impact player too. He's getting paid like somebody who I think will be like just the main center, right? And I think he's had the benefit on a very good team who, you know, they were kind of able to just switch out between bigs, like never really had to just dip him only. But again, that doesn't take away from him being a high impact player because him leaving the Knicks is actually, you know, like we talk about teams getting better every summer. That helps the Heat. Now, of course, the Knicks did a bunch of other things and they clearly got better in other aspects, but leaving the Knicks is that's a loss for them. It's the only loss because of everything else they did, right? But he's a good player, but I just think, you know, maybe doesn't belong in that class. Was Wiggins also there?
No, I don't see Wiggins there for next season, but the two names that jumped out to me, three names, other than Hartenstein. Who do you expect to have a better season for their respective team next year, Chris Middleton or Tyler Hero?
If you're just talking about product, you know, maybe Tyler, but I'm not sure. I just think the Middleton thing has been weird. Like, he's still very good, and like his body kind of being up and down last year and all of that. I still think he's a very good player.
What about these two names, Jordan Poole and Devin Vassell? Because they're right there in Tyler's salary slot.
Yeah, Poole is like if Tyler Hero played an out-of-control game and was like a number one option, except he's not a number one option anymore, got sent to the bench for a team, you know, one of the worst teams in the league who didn't have a clear, like, shock green star or anything like that ahead of him. So, no, I think Poole was over, but he was, like, a huge part of that Warriors championship, and that was around the time that he got happy. So it was, you know, I thought at the time, like, him being so young, being so important to that championship run made him it seemed like, you know, like worth his value, but man, his stock gone down the past couple of seasons. That last Warriors playoff run and then this Wizards season.
Don't we think if you just substitute Tyler in for Jordan Poole, the same thing happens for Golden State? Or a Heat fan is going to tell me because Tyler hasn't performed consistently and been healthy in the playoffs that it wouldn't. But let's try to give Tyler the benefit of the doubt there. Let's assume health.
Yeah.
We don't think that if Tyler was playing the Jordan Poole role, they wouldn't still want a championship, because I do.
I think they might have, yeah. As long as, like, Tyler – because the thing is, look, Poole is performing at a really high level. But I agree with that. You know, he's getting I think, overvalued because of the cushy role. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. The guy is obviously still a really skilled player. I just, he kind of needs to rein it in a little bit and figure out how to polish this. It just seems a little bit out of control, especially in Washington now. Whereas in Golden State, I just thought he played off of all the leverage created from Steph and Klay. And it's like he wasn't the guy that was being, you know, like I just think he wasn't the guy at the top of people's scouting reports on the defensive end. And even though people knew what he was a couple of seasons ago and knew that he was, you know, a spark plug and all that and can score and make things happen, like he was, I thought he did a good job playing those guys and what they create. He wasn't, you know, having to be the one creating. He had pretty, like, nice spacing most of the time. Yeah, I think Tyler would look better in that role, just doing the same thing that Poole was, you know. But I give credit for Poole for playing at a high level in that playoff run. So if you're telling me that Hero is playing his game and he's, you know, he's not having like inefficient shooting nights, I just think, and he's in that role, like, yeah, I could see them winning the championship as well.
Tyler's been more efficient than Jordan Poole overall. I know Heat fans don't want to say that, but it's, I mean, just look at the overall numbers. Like he's been more efficient than Jordan Poole overall. All right, here, this is the key point here.
Because I want to say, just to be fair, is that Poole used to be a little bit better at getting to the rim, but again, nothing like in that amazing, you know, just space and role where the burden was taken off of him to have to create for other. He was a guy. So I think Tyler could have succeeded that role and probably would have. I do think Poole, longer arms, quicker, was a little bit better at getting into the paint than Tyler at his peak. Now, I don't know.
Let's go through the names that are under it. Because, again, it's one thing to say there's some players on there. We can talk about a handful of players maybe that Tyler should be ahead of. But I think that the issue that Heat fans bring up is, okay, he's overvalued, right? So there are guys that he's making more of than he shouldn't. That makes him difficult to trade. Honestly, I'm looking at the rest of this list, and other than some rookie contracts, I don't see a lot. So let me give it to you. These guys are all in Tyler's range. He's making $29 million, okay? All these players are making between 25 and 29. Julius Randle, Nick Claxton, Miles Bridges, John Collins, Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Simons, RJ Barrett, who was signed around the same time as Tyler. He's now in Toronto, maybe gets a bigger role there, but it was the same draft class. Tobias Harris, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jonathan Isaac. Like, I don't see anything egregious there. Like, is there, I mean, that's okay. This guy is heads and tails better than Tyler Hero as an NBA player. I'm not talking about fit, but I'm just saying, like, are any of these guys that much better than him? I mean, Jaren, maybe?
Yeah, Jaren.
Jonathan Isaac in his role?
No, I mean, Isaac is, I think it's fine. But there's like, you mentioned a few overpays, though, like in that list, mm-hmm. as far as like Collins. Tobias Harris and John Collins, two guys who are right. looked at as like, two of the most overpaid players in the league. And you mentioned Wiggins as well. Wiggins is another guy who, ever since that Warriors championship run, his stock has gone down. After playing such a big role for them, he looked like he had really found himself as a 3-and-D role player and just was huge for them in that run. And, you know, again, I think he got paid around that time, and that was the reason why it all kind of fell apart for them, because they paid Poole and Wiggins pretty quickly, and they couldn't afford so many guys. And whatever, I just think both of them end up being guys who, you know, their stocks went down after the.
So let me get to the others, a few others on this list, but I think people can see the conclusion I'm coming to here. Right below it is Jalen Brunson. He just signed an extension that hasn't kicked in. He took less money. Jalen Brunson was worth whatever the Knicks wanted to pay him. It's a great contract, initial contract that he signed. It's a total anomaly. Okay. The Knicks got him in part because, again, Dallas didn't offer him the extension when he wanted. His father has been a Knick, who's worked for the Knicks. The whole thing was kind of preordained. You got to take Jalen Brunson out of the Tyler Hero conversation. It's not fair. Terry Rozier, 24-9. Okay. Draymond Green, 24. By the way, Terry's 66th in the league in contract, which I think if he's playing at the level they think he can play at, will be about fair for him also. Draymond Green, 24-1. Cam Johnson, looks like an overpay to me, 23-6. Kyle Kuzma, 23-5. DeRozan, 23-4. That was part of the sign and trade with Sacramento. The Heat were never going to pay him that. They could offer him the $5.2 million. They were in on some of that stuff, but it wasn't for DeRozan, not as far as the sign and trades. Mikal Bridges, 23-3, but that's about to explode. He got an extension. Jaden McDaniels, 23. Brooke Lopez, 23. Bruce Brown, 23. Aaron Gordon, very valuable player, 22-8. And then KCP signed a contract for 22.8. Malcolm Brogdon is making 22.5 for Portland. Clint Capella, 22.2. Dylan Brooks, 22.2. DeAndre Hunter, 21.7. Okay, now these, okay, so I'm not going to go further than this because they're all making $6 to $7 million less than Tyler or some of it. But I'll say it again. There's nothing on that list that I'm like, Tyler's in a totally different bracket than he should be in, right?
Yeah, I mean, the only one there, and it was like maybe DeRozan, right? Where like, I think he's probably better than Tyler, but like, it's different for him because he's older now. I just think that's kind of, you know, what the market was for him. And it's kind of, it almost looked like he might not have gotten a contract like that at a certain point. So we know the context there. Like, even though I think DeRozan is better, he's obviously much older. So that changes their, you know, how you look at them contract wise, but nothing there like I think blows you out of the water. Like, a lot of those are older guys who are kind of known quantities and just got paid for what they do. But yeah, like, I think nothing egregious.
So if we're gonna say that, okay, and I know these are hard assumptions to make, but if Tyler Hero is healthy for 65 to 70 games, available for the playoffs, and they can figure out some kind of fit. And I'm not going to back off from this. I don't like the Hero Rozier option for more than about 15 minutes a game, which to me makes it challenging to start the two of them together, especially if you may plan on finishing with the two of them together. I just think they're going to get hunted too much, and I just think you need more size in the backcourt overall in the modern NBA. But if we're going to make some of those assumptions, I don't see the Tyler Hero contract as being this outrageous, crazy contract. It looks to me like he's valued about where he should be, especially in the context of when the extension came up, okay, the timing of it, what other players in his class were getting, when it's clear that if there was a redraft there, Tyler would be a top 10 pick in that draft. Am I wrong about this? I mean, because this is going to piss Heat fans off because they're defending him and we should just trade him and everything. But it also would indicate that he's not terrible value for another team if the Heat ultimately decided to move him. Again, if you could get past the availability thing, which I think, because I think other teams could find fit, but it's the availability thing. And it's also, you know, how you sort of play with him with other high usage players and defensively how you handle it. But the Heat have had worse contracts than this. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, over the years, they've had many. I mean, Hassan Whiteside was a much worse contract than this. They had other contracts that were much more debilitating towards them. This is not that. This is just, they have to either manage the situation to make him more effective. And maybe it means for the purposes of the team, which maybe means bringing him off the bench. Okay. Which again is a conversation we talked about. Spo, you know, Kevin Durant's coming off the bench for Team USA. Dwayne and Goran came off the bench for the Heat. It's a conversation that probably should be broached again with either Terry or Tyler, because I don't think it's going to fit, provided Duncan's healthy. But again, I don't think this – I think that too much has been made of the contract overall. Are you with me on that?
I'm with you. I think, you know, us going through it and you going through it here, like just how many players are in front of him, I think is good to give people, you know, some perspective on where he ranks. I just think, like, the number, right? When you see the number overall and how much he's getting paid per season, it kind of reminds people of like what stars were making not that long ago. But the money has just been changing so rapidly over the past, I don't know, like or so, like near a decade since that first salary cap 2016 that allowed KD to go to the Warriors place. Like, ever since then, you know, the money has just kept going up. And now with this new deal, they keep going like even more up, right? I just think it's good to give people some perspective on just how many guys are making money, right? That Tyler is making superstar money. And then, in fact, like, a lot of the guys are more or less on the same tier as him. Not that he's better than everybody we mentioned, you know, it's just like, you know, it's not that out of place. And like, you know, somebody I didn't mention before when you know, brought him out, I mean, when you pointed him out, was like an Aaron Gordon, right? Like, you can definitely make the case that Aaron Gordon is more valuable than Tyler Hero when him making whatever it is, like $5 million less. Yeah, I get it. Like, I would agree with you there. Like, he was a huge piece, right? I'm not saying you can't point out certain guys, but I do think overall, when you know, give the whole context of all the players around him, contract wise, like, it's not that bad. The only thing is, I don't think this season, unless he just becomes a very, like, he completely buys into the off-ball thing, and the impact is high, and you know, he's not doing too much. I do still think there's going to be a like, even if he does more off-ball stuff, I do think he's going to have his fair share of on-ball creation still, because I don't think Jimmy is going to be like this number one option in the season like people want him to be. Even with all that, right, still having a high responsibility, I wonder how much like him potentially starting alongside everybody with Terry, Jimmy, and Bam, along with probably Jovic. Like, I wonder how much that affects his production, because we didn't get to see too much of it, right? Terry and Tyler together, and then like how it affects each other's production, and Terry wasn't the guy he was later, all that, right? But Tyler was scoring a little bit less when Terry was acquired. It wasn't a lot less, but it was a lot of times like under 20. And you know how he's been kind of like 20 points per game type of guy over the past few seasons. And I wonder if the production coming down is just going to make people more sour on it, even if he's trying to do the right thing to help the team win.
Right.
But other than that, I agree with, you know, kind of the conclusion here.
Well, I think, and I'll close it here, I think that's one of the conundrums he's in, is that, you know, fans want him to do things to benefit the team, but if he does some of those things, he's going to get criticized, as you said, for scoring less. That's where this may head. And we're going to do an episode, one of the other episodes that was suggested that we're going to take is who leads the Heat in scoring this season. And we have some on our Discord feed who think it's going to be Jaime Jaquez, which is, that's a conversation we'll have. But it really could be, I wasn't even considering Jaquez for that, even though I think people know that I think he should be considered to start. But it could be, honestly, Bam, Jimmy, Tyler, or Terry. I think Terry's an option for that too, if they really featured him in a certain way. He's shown he's capable of it, and if Jimmy's going to take more of a step back, and then we're seeing the development of Bam, if Bam makes two or three three-pointers on occasion, that adds a couple points to his scoring. And if he's more of a featured option, you can add another one there. And then I don't think you rule out Tyler as the leading scorer on this team. I just don't. I mean, it's if they lean into his skill set, but again, some of the things they would lean into is going to upset Heat fans if they right. That's well, that, more threes. Well, that
might help with scoring too.
That's a good point. All right. Well, anyway, look at this. We didn't know if we had 20 minutes. We start talking about Hero and we get to 38. All right. We appreciate Alex. I will figure it out. I was scrolling through and I couldn't find it, but we will credit whoever gave us the topic for this episode. We're going to do these all through August. Check out Off the Floor. Also, insurancebylynette.com, PrizePicks. Use that code 5, F-I-V. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.